Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bond. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean.
Hey, hello, everyone, to the Everything Astrocast week of September 7th, 2015. I'm your host, Zach. Today we have Joe.
Shuck it long and shuck it hard.
And Chris.
Hello.
So let's dive right into the show because we have a ton of stuff to talk about this week, as usual. And a couple trailers to kick things off with. We got the first trailer, actually today we're recording this on Wednesday, for Krampus, or Krampus, however you want to pronounce it, which is coming out this December. And it's from Mike Dougherty, who directed Trick or Treat, which I think we're all pretty big fans of Trick or Treat, right?
I liked it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so taking on Christmas now, and it's about a family, who basically get targeted by the Krampus, who shows up and like is like, I guess gonna, his whole thing is like punishing the wicked or something, or like giving whips to the parents of the wicked or whatever. Was his like old like, he was like the other half of like Saint Nicholas, I guess.
And like he was the complete full German Saint Nicholas.
Yeah, German
tale.
like Saint Nicholas would give you presents to the good people, and then the Krampus would show up and give like whips to like the parents of the evil children or something. So.
And in my eyes, like, that's how you tell good, like, stories. You have, like, both forces represented at the same mm-hmm. time. Because they work together, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not just like, oh, he's just a dick who follows Santa. So, it's nice to see, like, the other end.
Yeah, and so the family, like some of the family is, like, Adam Scott, David Koechner, Toni Collette, and then Alison Tolman from Fargo. And they're all part of, it's like this, like, extended families all together for Christmas.
I do like how it's just like this token family that is getting terrorized, because you know, like Krampus wouldn't make sense for like a mixed minority family.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Krampus, all he does is yell at white people. It's just a thing. Kind of like vampire movies and Jews.
Yeah,
they never go together.
Well, we're going to have to wait for, like, the Hanukkah zombie movie or something.
Oh, man. I can only hope.
Or Kwanzaabot.
Kwanzaabot.
I'm kind of surprised neither of those have been done.
So, did you guys see the trailer?
Yep.
Yeah, what'd you think, Chris?
I can't wait. Only because I was into Krampus way before this, so I was a hipster Krampus.
Krampus hipster.
Only because,
he is,
like,
actually.
Yeah, because you know, just the story intrigued me, and then the episode of The Office when Dwight dresses as the Krampus really kicked it off. I think that really brought us to, like, attention to everyone that this is a real thing.
Yeah,
I was gonna say I want a Belznickel movie. No, where he's
then,
like his helper.
Yeah,
Belznickel.
So
I think isn't Kevin Smith doing like a anthology movie this Christmas, like in December too, like a. Some sort of, like, I can't remember the name of it, but...
What the fuck he's doing?
Because he was like, talking, like, doing, like, a Krampus movie or something at some point, and then it turned into, like, this, like, anthology movie.
He wanted to make his own, like, Twilight Zone
kind
thing.
Of, yeah.
So it's fine, because, I mean, he kind of knows how to do horror. So this
yeah.
is, like, nice, because it's, like, here's some actors that you know, like, that can be funny or dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, this movie... You gotta take it with a grain of salt. Like, it's not serious, and I like,
yeah,
it like that. I mean, it wants to be. It's like,
it's got,
you look
it feels
at,
like it's got the same tone that Trick or Treat had, which is, like, horrible, horrible things happen, but it's got this, like, really dark sense of humor.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why it's like, oh, this is... Let's just see where it goes, because you can't be like, it's a comedy, because it's like, it's trying to be scary, then it's like, oh, then it's, like, not too scary, because it's like, it's Adam Scott. Like,
yeah.
It's Adam Scott with a gun, so...
We haven't seen this as Torque.
Yeah, and you see how that turned out. It's not an action movie, it's not a comedy. It's really, here's the thing. Can you imagine Ice Cube in Fast and Furious? He said he went for Torque, and it blew his chances.
Hmm. I'd be open to that.
Well, I think we talked about it like a couple weeks ago, but like Vin Diesel, Ice Cube, Triple X team up. Come on, it's got to happen.
Yeah, hey, but
hey, man, slow down.
It'd be weird if like he dies this time. That's why Vin Diesel comes back.
It's gonna take both Triple X's. Yeah. So anyway, so Krampus is out December 4th. So you keep an eye out for that one. And then the other trailer actually came out this last week was you have to keep an eye on a video on demand for this one. Not really like a solid release date, but it looks awesome. Standoff, which is basically Lawrence Fishburne versus Tom Jane.
You know, Lawrence Fishburne is that kind of actor who, like, these days, like, even though he's older, he'll still be in things. Like, he'll still be in action movies that I don't really recall. You know, like, I have him credit for that.
Yeah. So he's, like, he's an assassin, and he just shows up at this funeral and murders everyone. Except for this little girl who escapes to Tom Jane's, like, weird, like, cabin or house. And Tom Jane's, like, this, like, some sort of war vet who's, like, kind of, like, his depression and stuff, and he's like kind of like being on himself, and then he's got to protect this girl from Lawrence Fishburne, and it turns into kind of like a hostage situation. Like,
and the thing is, Lawrence Fishburne looks like his character from Assault on Precinct 13.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like the same character. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, they said this is the sequel.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks awesome. Like Tom Jane has like two shots in his shotgun he has in his house, and he uses one right off the bat, so he has one shot left to stop Lawrence Fishburne. And then Lawrence Fishburne, like, kidnaps a cop at one point and, like, is torturing downstairs, and, like, Tom Jane and the girl are upstairs, and, like, it's going to be this, like, crazy, like, sort of Die Hard-esque, where it's just, like, in his house, like, how do we get out of the situation movie? But yeah, no solid release date. Like, it's probably gonna come out sometime this year, but just, you'll have to keep an eye on like your video on demand or I don't know, Redbox or something. And then moving on to TV stuff, we actually got the trailer last week. I think they showed it during Dragon Con. Is the season 4 trailer for Arrow? Did you guys see that one?
No, I learned my lesson in season 3. Never watch the trailer because it ruins actually, all the prior season.
This one actually did not show much of, like, barely anything of season. Like, I don't think it showed anything of season 3. It's all just season 4 stuff, so. But yeah, I mean, it showed a bunch of Neil McDonough, who's going to be the main villain this season. Damien Dark, bringing in his army of mercenaries. And the big thing, which actually, like the promo shot came out before the trailer, but then it was actually in the trailer too. But like, Diggle's weird Magneto costume, like, I don't know if you guys saw that.
It's Magnegro. Terrible.
Oh my
but that's
going to
be the meme. I'm calling it now. Listen, that's not racist. They made Black Magneto. What would you like me to name him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did they really look at that and not say people are going to think that's Black Magneto, or? Even if he was white or blue or purple or whatever fucking color,
it
still looks like Magneto.
Yeah.
It just does. Like, what? What does... And this goes back to the Arrow thesis of mine, which is not everyone has to be a fucking superhero. He could just be Diggle, you know? Let him be Diggle for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's okay.
What's the, like, is he gonna have, like, a code name now or something? And, like...
I mean, like you heard mine. I don't know if it's gonna stick.
Even when he's like part of like the Suicide Squad, like everyone just calls him Diggle.
Yeah, so. Diggle. All right, John. It's like Deadshot, fucking. You know, I mean, Harley wasn't
Cupid
in it, but you know, yeah. So, Deadshot, Cupid, John.
Yeah.
What? Who's that last one again?
Like his wife is like what? She's like she has like a super, like a comic book name. I forget what it is, but like. She's a character. There's an H, I think, but I can't remember what it was. It's something. And then just Diggle, get in there.
So I haven't watched season 3 yet. I assume it's going to be disappointing and heartbreaking at times to watch a show go through this crazy phase.
It was good until mid-season, where he fight, like where the big like Ra's al Ghul. conversation, and then it just goes downhill right from there, where it's like, it's just, who can come with the stupidest plan, Oliver or Ra's al Ghul?
I mean, it's just like, season two for me, like, I finished it and was like, this is satisfying. Like, it ended well, mm-hmm. It ended okay. Like, it was because
it's focused on one villain, and then it was like, and then there's kind of like side stuff going off of it, but like, it was like,
still, there's an overall story that like, I enjoyed.
Like, I can't even remember, like, I think they had some other characters, or like other, like, one episode villains in the beginning of the season, but then it's just like, Ra's al Ghul, what's he playing this week? Oh, he changed his mind? Okay.
Oh, he's bad now. No, but he's a good bad guy.
Yeah. Oliver, kill my daughter so you can marry her. What?
Yeah, or my favorite, Oliver's gone crazy. Now he's back again. He's gone crazy. It's a double triple cross.
Yeah.
Or is it a triple double cross?
At one point, I remember seeing promo photos where he's wearing like a weird Archer BDSM outfit, and I was just like, what is this?
Oh, yeah.
Did you finish season three, Chris?
No, I'm guessing.
Oh,
I'm just,
stop.
So I'm just
what like, his, like, what is this, like, League of Assassins name? Like, El Saim or something?
Yeah.
Then at one point, there were two canaries, and I was like, okay, thanks, Flash, for ruining this. And then,
oh, yeah, they spoiled what's going to be, like, one of the big plots of this.
Yeah, they spoiled it, Flash, and I was just like, I didn't watch anything. What the hell happened? And then just like, oh, never mind, JK, Lazarus Pit. And then it's like, oh, okay.
Okay, well, like, the shocking thing that happened in the first episode of season two is, like, you know, like, it's like, which is the whole, like, kind of jumping off point is, like, in the it's solved in, like, the League, like, the Legends of Tomorrow trailer.
Forgot we have to deal with that show too.
Mm-hmm. Which I think that's like Damien Darhk's in like time travel or something maybe, or like he's some sort of like immortal. Oh no, I don't know. I think that Vandal Savage is going to be the villain of Legends of Tomorrow. So that's like he's like a mortal time travel guy. So I think didn't they set up Damien Darhk as like Ra's al Ghul's he was going to take over. He was, like, Ra's al Ghul's rival or something, but then, he left.
I think so.
To be, like, a mercenary or something. Anyway, yeah, hopefully they kind of get back to, like, what they did in, like, definitely season one and then also in season two, where it's just, like, fun one-shot episodes with, like, actual, like, comic book villains. Because that's why Flash was awesome, because, like, literally every episode was, like, Here's a new villain.
Mm-hmm,
It's a new crazy rogue. But yeah, so that's gonna start on October 7th, I think, and then Flash is back on October 6th. So, I'm guessing we'll probably see a Flash trailer sometime soon because that's starting in a couple weeks here. So, I definitely want to see what's going on with like this whole like crazy alternate. Like Flash is gonna be insane this season because there's gonna be like 8 Flashes and like 100 so many multiverses and like Speed Force and zooms and but anyway, moving on to other news. Some pretty huge news hit today when we're recording. Ronda Rousey is gonna be starring in a remake of Roadhouse.
Is it? This is part of her biography. This happened to her too.
Yeah, she used to be the world's greatest bouncer.
Yep. Spoiler
Did we see
alert!
That in the Expendables?
Yeah, this is it's that scene from Expendables 3, just expanded to an entire movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Okay, so she's gonna be the star, right? Or
She's going to be, like, the Patrick Swayze character, like...
Oh, she's going to be Dalton?
Yeah, but just, like, female Dalton who comes in and, like, is, like, the world's greatest... She's the cooler. She's the world's greatest cooler.
Wait, okay, see, at this point, why don't I just make it the third movie and make her own unique character, not just, like, oh, it's just, you know...
I don't think it's going to be, like, they're going to, like...
A true reboot?
I don't know what, like, the female version of Dalton is, like, what the female name version of Dalton is, but...
Okay, here's the thing. As long as she does weird Tai Chi by a river and she bangs a doctor, just as long as she does those two, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. And says pain don't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then rips someone's throat out with her bare hands.
It's going to be arm out of the socket.
Oh my god, yeah, Gina Carano needs to be like the Jimmy character, like the evil the evil other character.
I just want a monster truck. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Hopefully at a car dealership. Now do it right. Don't do it at all.
Oh man, then who's gonna be, we need to figure out who's gonna be like the grizzled like older bouncer who shows up or gets called in for like to help.
Hopefully Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott.
Why not?
Yeah.
It would be Cyborg Santo.
Oh.
No,
that would be great.
Like Sigourney Weaver or something.
Yeah, probably.
Or like Linda Hamilton.
Jamie Lee.
Oh Curtis. My god. Yeah. What is she up to? She's still like ripped?
Probably nothing. Probably cashing Terminator checks.
I mean, there's two Hamiltons. There's like her and her twin sister. Everyone forgets about the twin sister.
Yeah. And then you just gotta figure out the who's gonna be the Ben Gazzara like evil tycoon who wants to
build,
who wants to like build a Walmart. That was his whole scheme, and Roadhouse is like, we're gonna build a shopping mall.
That was
I'm gonna bring in Sears and Montgomery Wards. Yeah, his whole plan was like he's extorting like the small town businesses because he wants to bring in like a mega store or a mall. Which is like it's the perfect like 80s evil scheme of like, what do the kids want? Malls.
What kids? There's like two kids in this whole town.
Yeah. I appreciate because he offers Dalton like a part of like, I'm bringing all the stores in, Dalton. You gotta be a part of it.
Weird. Let's just see what happens. I mean. Everyone's on the Ronda Rousey train, mm-hmm. You know, but I'm just like, you know, I don't forget, like, making a Roadhouse movie, it's like, it was, the reason why it's so iconic is it was so weird. So, they're trying to make it serious, it's like, ugh.
It's gotta be, like, the same tone, it's gotta be like, well, actually, I don't know if you can match it down, because, like, that was just, like, that was, like, lightning in the bottle, like, so bad it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we also had some theme park news, this past week or so. So the Incredible Hulk coaster, which is at Universal Studios Islands of Adventure, is going to be shut down.
No.
I think actually it shut down yesterday.
Is it getting rebranded or is this like
it's,
totally?
It's still going to be Hulk, but it's going to be closed until next summer because they're going to be basically doing a whole, they're basically revamping the entire thing. They're like doing new track and new cars and new. Set design, so it's
what?
It's basically, why? Thing's great.
Yeah, I know, yeah, it's awesome, but
there's like I mean, nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, it's one of the most perfect coasters at the time, and like it's only gotten better with like age because like I remember 90s they
Hulk.
Yeah, it's like 90s Hulk, but also like Eric Bana like Hulk prequel movie ride.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like yeah, the Hulk ride actually was way better than the movie.
We're like and like during the launch we're just like it's not Eric Bana just going no 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 no.
Plus like it was featured in House of Haunted Hill the remake.
Yeah.
It's the same coaster they use.
Dude, I love that countdown for that ride. That's so great. It's kind of like the Rock and Roller Coaster at Disney but much more exciting cuz it's not like three, Steven Tyler like two. Screaming at you.
It's like,
yeah.
Like 3 2 Oh God, no!
yeah, it's like no, what have I done? And I was like, shit, because all started hitting me. I was like, we're gonna launch right the fuck out of that. Ah!
Wait, so in the ride of the Hulk, it's like, do you ride as the Hulk, or you're riding like through?
Because the ride is telling the story of his transformation.
You're getting shot out of like a gamma accelerator or something.
Yeah, okay.
You're
getting shot into Hulk's pee hole.
Because I thought about, it, I was like. I always thought you were like some visitor who showed up at the lab and this goes wrong. And you're just like
pretty much like that's. I mean, I don't think you are the Hulk, but you're basically going through the experience of what it's like.
Yeah.
When he transforms.
I don't know. Coasters with stories are always weird.
So, it is like, weird, but like it's just such a great atmosphere. And like I had the line, I had like the fucking like
mm-hmm.
fast pass thing or whatever for it. So I was basically passing everybody who's like, ha, 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 like laughing in children's faces. So to me, I didn't have time to like stand there and look at the same like panel for 20 minutes and get bored.
I've heard this sucks. I've heard the queue is kind of dated in boring now.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
It's like Bruce's lab or something, but it's like this like terrible like set.
But to me, it was like totally like I understood that it was a time capsule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, oh, this is awesome 90s Hulk shit right here. Like he has the mushroom cut still. You remember when he had the mushroom cut in the comics? So I'm like, oh man, like this is awesome. And like they don't show him as the Hulk in the line. Like they show like clips, not like clips, but they show like news footage of the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a comic panel that shows like, you know, this big giant green mass like from like a CNN report or something. So you're like, oh, that's awesome. Like you don't really get him revealed.
It's also one of the two roller coasters I've ever been on where like I got off and I was like drunk with adrenaline because I'm just like,
oh yeah,
I can't walk. Right,
dude,
now.
I got off that when I had the total spaghetti legs going. Yep. I had to go into the gift shop to like calm down. Like it's definitely one of those rides where like it's fun, but it's like it's really frantic at the beginning. Like as soon as you get your bearings, you're like, this is super fun, but when they shoot you out, like it looks like you're going straight up into the air. Like the whole Chris, the whole point of this ride is that like it's not the dip that scares you. Like it looks like you're getting shot like into outer space pretty much. Because you just see, like, the sky. Like, they designed it really perfectly. And then you go down, like, underwater and shit. That was really cool, too.
Hmm.
I'm a fan of that.
So, yeah, but, yeah, so basically next summer it's going to be
basically
completely new. So hopefully it'll be just as good, but...
Yeah, it's not surprising to me that they're doing that just so they could kind of keep the, like, lease going on their Marvel characters in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all it is. And I understand that they want to protect their investment. You know, you can't get mad at them for not putting the fans first
in
that situation, but...
That deal that they have, it's, like, basically, like, forever.
That's the thing.
It's
I think
weird, like, contract where it's like, you have the rights forever. As long as Universal Studios doesn't blow up, you have the rights.
I don't know what the exact terms are, but my understanding is that it's kind of like Fox with the Marvel characters, where it's like as long as you're actively like doing shit with it,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I assume that and that's just to protect Marvel's interest too, because they get a cut of all that shit. So you know, if they weren't making money off that, believe me, they would have Disney lawyers there with the fucking League of Assassins just trying to.
Yeah,
you know,
because I'm surprised Disney didn't show like a moving van and start hauling things off. You know,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if Disney and Marvel weren't making money off of that arrangement, or like if it wasn't lucrative for them, they'd be like, "All right, fuckers, like we just bought this place. We're setting new rules about the Marvel area.
Pack it up, boys."
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what
we're. So a van full of like Disney like costume characters.
Oh, but, no, it's like. It's like a bus shows up and they're just like grabbing the mascots off the streets of like Universal.
Yep.
Like, get in the van!
But I'm Beetlejuice, get in the van!
We own you now.
Yeah, I'm not a Marvel character. We're gonna make you our little Marvel girl. No! Yeah. I mean, good times though. Listen, I hope they do a good job with it.
I've heard, you know? I've heard the, because they revamped Spider-Man in like 2013. I've heard that's it's really good. Like it's like some people are saying it's better than it was before.
I wouldn't know. I went like right before the cutoff.
Mm-hmm.
I went like 2011, 2012. It was like the last season, the last summer season that they didn't have the update. So I was like, ha, this is beautiful. It was basically just like the Hulk in the sense that the line is like 90s Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, flat top J. Jonah Jameson.
Yep.
Like, it's just great.
Actually, I like that, right? Because it's like, if you watch the animated series, I think it was like at the tail end of an animated series, because some of the art is like from it.
Well, exactly.
Didn't Animal Adventure start like 99?
Yeah, 98, 99.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like the production of like the cartoon, it was like a mid-movie that begins that's like from the animated series.
Yeah, well, don't forget, that's when they opened the rides. I mean, they had to start planning these things years in advance, them years in advance. So like at the, it all lined up, you know, like the animated series is current when they were planning it. So that's why they went with it.
Mm-hmm.
But by the, you know, a few years later, they're kind of like, oh, what's this from that cartoon that isn't on anymore?
Yeah.
Shut up. No, it's not.
So, the other theme park news is that, apparently Ubisoft is, getting into the theme park business. They're going to build a 10,000 square foot attraction in Malaysia.
Oh, good.
And that's going to open in 2020. So,
what are they going to make? They just said unknown project.
Just like based on their franchises, so like Assassin's Creed attractions and Prince of Persia and Splinter Cell and Rabbids.
All because like the Assassin's Creed, a lot of like the Comic-Con things, they've just been doing like the like Rope not Ridge. Ninja Warrior. It's the weird not Ninja Warrior parkour set, which is like kind of cool, and it's like perfectly timed for what it needs to be. But imagine a whole like ride on Assassin's Creed.
I wonder if this is like it's gonna be rides or just gonna be like this is like gonna be like it's like Ubisoft Park and you come in it's like the Assassin's Creed obstacle course and like Splinter Cell's laser tag and like
then it's just like I kind of want to go to like some place that specializes in this, not just like this fake version of it.
Yeah, I guess they have like they have a ride in like a French theme park that's like a Raving Rabbids ride. It's like a 3D sort of like Transformers or Spider-Man ride.
Which is fine, you know. It's just like, I wouldn't want a whole theme park based on Ubisoft products, because not all of them are great.
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm never going to go to this park.
Yeah.
I not claim that I'm excited for it, but I mean, I don't wish bad things on it. I don't hope that it, like, fails. Like, that'd be kind of shitty of me, but I don't know. I just can't see, like, a Assassin's Creed, like, area doing so well, because you're basically just making Italy, you know, or you're making like fucking pirate ship.
It's like I never really knew Malaysia theme park market, but I assume when you make like mostly French Canadian like video games into there, I'm they're not gonna understand this, like the locals aren't gonna go.
If you said like you said like Dubai, I'd be like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Well, if you said Dubai and then I was going to get, like, $1 billion pumped into it.
Yeah.
You know, that would be one thing. This is just, like, sad, like, carnival land in Malaysia that they bought out.
Yep.
It's like, nothing grows here. We'll take it.
Yeah, I'm just like, people go to Malaysia not for family events.
No, they go there for, like, sex crimes and, like, dodging the law, you know?
Yeah, so I'm just kind of like, this ain't going to end well. Where it's like, it's like, Mommy, where did Daddy go?
Somewhere in Malaysia.
A massage parlor?
Bangkok has a no.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, we'll see. Mm-hmm. You know, that weird
I'll be interested to see pictures of it in 5 years.
Oh, I'll watch the YouTube videos of people like going through the shitty rides, but I'm not going to book my flight.
Oh, yeah.
Soon.
Like, I don't believe Malaysian Air ain't exactly cheap either. Or
landing. Or safe. Yeah. Those flights might not come down.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the ride? Like, are we there yet? No.
This is the ride. What?
Nothing could possibly go wrong. So, other news. Apparently Netflix is going to be doing what they've been doing for a little bit here and, like, continuing shows. So they're actually going to be producing more episodes of Black Mirror, which is the amazing British anthology show. That two seasons so far in a Christmas special.
And it's never like a holiday Christmas special. It's kind of like, depressing holiday.
John Hamm's Depressing Christmas. I think last season, it was 2011, 2012 were the seasons. So it's been 3 years since. And then this holiday special was like maybe 2013. So it's been a couple years.
It's only like 8 episodes.
So. It's like 3 episode seasons, but they're like an hour and a half each. So, but yeah, it's freaking like it's on Netflix right now. If you haven't watched it out yet, it's awesome. No, did you watch any, Chris? I thought you watched like one or two. Or
three. I just watched the first season.
The first season, yeah. Which, man, the first episode of the first season is insane.
Oh, it introduces you, like, to this wacky, like, it's gonna be really surreal now when you watch what happens, so just like, ugh. That's why you can only watch so much in so much sittings, is that you feel terrible at the end.
Yeah, there's always some sort of, like, horrific Twilight Zone-esque twist at the end. It's just like, oh god, where are we going? Technology.
Yeah,
terrible.
Like if you like Twilight Zone, it's right up your alley. But unlike Twilight Zone, like this is like a lot of, I guess, just emotion.
Well, it's all like tech, like horrible, like this could happen technology wise. Like it's all like super plausible.
Right. Yeah, well, kind of. I don't know.
Some of it is. Some of it isn't. Like there's all.
Yeah.
Some of
the. Like, I don't know. The one where it's like the American Idol-esque thing, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But then it would drag on too long, where it's like, what kind of weird... What? I want to know more about this goddamn world.
Because that one was basically like, what if you had to live as your, like, Xbox Live avatar?
Oh, God.
And then you have to work to get, like, Xbox Live points, and then you have to, like, spend the Xbox Live points to, like, do everything.
Yeah, but then it's like you have to either generate energy for the city or you clean and you get fat. Mm-hmm. Like the rules were kind of weird.
It was a crazy world, yeah.
But,
crazy world.
Again, it's great. It's modern. It's way. It's just like I like these little short stories, mm-hmm. so it's enjoyable for that.
So yeah, not really. They didn't really say how many episodes it's going to be, but it's going to be probably at least one more season. So it'd be like another three episodes.
Two episodes.
Yeah. It's definitely excited for that one. And then also found out there's a rumor going around from last week that Nickelodeon is going to be doing like a massive like crossover movie with like classic Nicktoons. So possibly like. Rugrats, Angry Beavers, Hey Arnold, Rock with Modern Life, Ren and Stimpy.
Like, I do not care for that idea.
I want to see more of anything, so I'm desperate at this point.
But the crossover?
I don't care. I'll take what I can.
Like, it started like, there's like, it, they made like a statement, like, it was like their CEO or something, or one of their like higher ups, like the VP of program or something, was like, we're looking to bring back.
I'm mad.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a few days. It was like maybe like Wednesday last week. He was like, "We're looking at some options to like bring back classic Nicktoons." And like the Friday, like I think Friday after he said that, was like, "They're making a crossover movie. It's like the Avengers but Nicktoons."
Yeah, that might be bullshit. Yeah. And I hope that's the case. But I am down for fucking everything you just mentioned individually.
Yeah.
All day long, especially Rugrats and Rocco and. You know,
Ren and Stimpy,
of course. I mean, that one they have to be careful with. Honestly, I think there'll be a lot more wiggle room for taking creative liberties with the others. Mm-hmm. You know, but Ren and Stimpy, like that's fucking, like that's beloved. You know, because I mean, the Rugrats have already had the, you know, all growed up.
All growed up, yeah. Thing,
which you know wasn't terrible, but it was something so different. That fans, you know, they're probably going to be a lot more forgiving of weird shit going on with that than they would be with, like, Ren and Stimpy, where it's like, well, Stimpy died of cancer 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Now it's just Ren kind of living out his lonely last days, you know? Let's keep it classic, eh?
But yeah, apparently this movie is going to be called Nicktoons, if it happens, and, like, they're trying, like, it's going to be, like, it's going to be a live-action animation hybrid, like the SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water was.
No.
I mean, again, it's great to see that they want to do something a little bit different than make like a Space Jam, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just see what happens. It's so far it's just planning, and it's generating buzz. So
yeah,
maybe they'll put competent people behind it.
I guess.
It's like, oh, John Tran joined. Like, oh, God, no.
Josh Tran,
that's it. And then you're like, oh.
What if, hey, Arnold, it's like real and gritty and like they had no money and like Arnold was on the streets selling meth?
After Grandpa died, Arnold went overboard.
And then like he sees these other cartoons, it's all in his mind.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
They just take like all the darkest theories. Like the Rugrats are all dead.
They're unborn babies, unbaptized babies who died to heaven.
Yep.
And the Angry Beavers, well, they're just a product of a mushroom trip.
Yeah.
And then for some strange reason, they work for the military.
Yeah. Cat Dog was like a military monster.
Yep.
Sent into Desert Storm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so other news. We finally have the confirmation of who's going to be singing the new James Bond song for Spectre. It's going to be Sam Smith.
So it's going to be real sad.
Probably, yeah. I guess he already has a single done or something. Or it's like it's not even like related to Bond, or like he's just going to use the song for like
no.
It's gonna be called. The song is called "Waiting," writing on the wall.
It's called "Waiting for Spectre."
Yeah.
Parentheses. I'm so sad.
Yeah. One, why is it snuck? Like, you gotta be like Spectre. It's gotta be like. Like you can't follow up Skyfall with just like
writing on the wall.
Writing on the wall. It's like
yeah.
It's sort of like. It's just sort of something Bond, like
maybe like it's parentheses like Spectre's writing on the wall, something weird like that. Okay, Skyfall has nothing to do with like anything. You know, the Skyfall was just a house.
Yeah, but that was like that was like a perfect like old school Bond theme. Like that was like a
true.
That was like a Shirley Bassey like.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, yeah. The general rule of a Bond thing is it has to do with the title. Like it's really
say
not
the name
the,
once.
Yeah,
say, yeah.
I'm sure there's gonna be Sam Smith like there's like a specter of something in the wall or something like.
Well, that's fun. At least that abides by like a rule. Like
yeah.
If it's totally like I remember the Casino Royale song. Like it never mentions.
It has nothing.
Anything.
Yeah, you know my name.
Yeah, but like it's fine. People.
Well, no,
me.
it was about Bond coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
It's a soft reboot.
But
I think
like it,
the worst, Chris Cornell did a great job.
Yeah, that was an awesome one.
Yeah.
The
I mean, it wasn't like a classic Bond song, but it worked somehow,
yeah.
And it was definitely like a gritty kind of, I mean, vocals for a
mm-hmm.
gritty kind of Bond. I don't know.
It was definitely like the one before that was fucking Die Another Day.
Yeah.
I didn't mind that.
Oh, God, Chris.
I didn't. There was a North Korean Madonna, and then like,
like it's
you
like,
know,
it's not just terminated. It's not just the worst Bond song. It's like it's one of like one of the worst songs. Period.
What?
You actually offended him, Zach.
Yeah.
No, I didn't mind that. Like, okay, what about Tomorrow Never Dies?
Was that the Sheryl Crow one?
Is that the Sheryl Crow one?
I would put that one above Badada.
I give it all right, but like, yeah, Pierce Brosnan besides GoldenEye, it's like.
What about the garbage one?
That was
not enough.
Didn't mind that. Did you ever watch the music video of that one?
Where
like,
they're building
there
robots?
Was,
yeah.
Yeah, there was a Terminator. There's a Shirley Manson robot.
Yeah.
And then the actual music video was an evil Shirley Manson robot kills Shirley Manson and blows up her concert.
Mm-hmm.
And then they looked at that and went, fuck yeah, let's make her a Terminator in the real life.
Yep.
And share kind of Chronicles.
Yep.
So I give that
synergy.
That was kind of cool, but...
Yeah.
Eh.
I think definitely the weakest one for the Daniel Craig era so far has been that Jack White, Alicia Keys one for Quantum of Solace.
Well, I mean,
Quantum of Solace
in general was just, you know...
It was... I can't remember, like... I can't remember the name of the song, but it wasn't Quantum of Solace.
Oh, because I was going
to
say...
Like Another Day to Die or something?
Yeah, Another Day to Die is what it was called.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. It was just, like... What are you gonna do with this?
The song was okay, but the actual title sequence was terrible. It was like that was probably the worst title sequence ever in a Bond movie. We're just like, look, it's sand. We're flying over sand.
Listen, man, you know how I feel about Quantum of Solace.
Mm-hmm.
I just was not a fan in general. I think it's definitely like the fucking piss break movie of the Bond of the Daniel Craig Bonds.
Yeah,
where it's like, oh, it's a marathon. Well, this is my nap time. Wake me up for Skyfall.
It was cool. It was cool going in. You're like, oh man, they're actually. It's like straight up. It's a straight continuation from Casino Royale, and it's like,
yes, that was cool. But it
okay.
was like, hey, we're gonna fluff you while we wait for the next girl to come in. You know, next girl being Skyfall.
Skyfall. So I guess I think it's releasing the first week of October or something, so you can check that out when it comes out. Oh no, it's September 25th is when you can hear the song.
I'll save it for the movie.
Yeah.
Actually, that might be a bad idea, because I'll be in the theater and be like, what the fuck?
No! No!
Yeah. Or just bring bring like wireless speakers and just play like
Thunderball.
Yeah, yeah. Just play one of the old Bond songs. Be like, this is for your own good. I'm saving you.
Moonraker. Anyway, other news. Apparently, Fox is going to be developing a Mega Man movie.
Okay.
I guess they just.
I'm surprised Japan hasn't done that already several times over.
No, I mean, yeah, it's just like Capcom has no idea how to make money.
Yeah, they're so bad at making money.
There's been a couple like animated series, like there was like a 90s.
Well, sure.
And like animes and stuff, but.
But I mean, like you would think that Japan, of all places, would have at least tried to do a, you know, especially after like Mega Man Legends or something where it was like Mega Man in the real world.
Yeah. Did you guys see the Mega Man fan movie?
No, there's a fan movie.
No.
Like it's like, yeah, it's like, it's a full length fan movie. It was
a toddler running around with a helmet on.
No, like I forget how much they did it for, but it's like $1,000 on it. It's like actually looks pretty decent for like $1,000.
Wow.
It's definitely, I think it's on like all the different video sites if you want to check it out. But yeah, it's like for like a fan movie, it's actually pretty good.
Hmm.
And then I guess there's a Mega Man animated series coming out sometime in the near future here from like the team behind like the Disney Marvel shows.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
But Fox is developing this movie apparently. And then no other. Let's just like we're making it. Shut up. That's it. There's really no other.
End of conversation. Next topic.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna call it now. It's probably got something to do with Jack Black.
He is Mega Man.
Or Professor Light. Oh, actually, I could see it being Professor Light.
Or Dr. Wily, either one of them. Like, if Jack Black is Dr. Wily.
Yeah. I don't know. There's definitely room for them to make it, like, not serious. Like, I'm not saying that it has to be a fucking
like a gritty
movie. I don't want that. No. But, I mean, like, I have a bad feeling, like, it's going to end up trying to be, like, Pixels or something, like...
I hope it's
Mega Man in our world bullshit.
Yeah,
thing?
What happens when Mega Man gets transported to our world?
Wait, did Fox make Pixels?
Sony made.
Sony did. Okay, so it's maybe their answer. It's like, what if Jack Black discovers Mega Man? Like, god, no.
Rob Schneider is Mega Man.
I really hope it's an animated movie. Like, I don't want like a live action Mega Man. even though that fan movie is live action, just get, like, a good CG, like, animated Mega Man movie.
Yeah.
And then just do, like, the best of, like, bosses. Like, have, like, don't...
Chill Penguin!
Well, it's Mega Man X, so we'll probably have to wait for that. But... Guts Man. Cut Man.
Still. Storm Eagle. Fuck it. Skip ahead.
Yes.
Actually, X has the best, like, adult story, so Mega Man,
X,
like...
X best Mega Man game. There, I said it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. Like, they knew what the fuck they were doing. Those fucking guys sat down in an office, and they're like, listen, motherfuckers, we're not leaving this room until we have the best Mega Man game ever made. What about your families? Fuck your families. We're ordering a pizza.
Bam.
Exactly. Tremendous.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so we'll have to keep an eye on this Mega Man movie. And then the last bit of news for this week is that we got some casting for Luke Cage, the upcoming Netflix show. Mm. So Simone Missick is going to be playing Misty Knight, who is basically like Foxy Brown with a cyborg arm.
Awesome.
Foxy.
She's like she used to be like a detective or something, and then she became like a private investigator/mercenary.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll be on the show at some point. And then, Mahershala Ali, who is in Hunger Games, he was on House of Cards as Remy. If you watch House of Cards, he's gonna be playing Cottonmouth, and so like one of the villains of Luke Cage.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with too many Luke Cage villains.
Nobody is.
No.
I don't think he just fought like people with guns, though.
Just random street toughs.
So I remember like he got shot, but because he's basically like a power man, he's bulletproof.
Ow.
Yeah. And then also like Rosario Dawson's gonna show up on Luke Cage, so crossing over those universes.
Are we still gonna figure out like her mystery, how she's like troubled past or anything? Her generically, I'm just troubled past girl in Daredevil. I mean, she was great in Daredevil, but I'm just like, they kind of hinted at something they never went with.
It felt like she was like busy or something. It was just like she was like doing something, like she was busy while they were filming, and it's like I can only be in like two episodes.
Oh yeah, yeah. It felt like they wanted to use her more, but she was on like a lot of promotional stuff, and then it's like in reality she was in like two episodes.
And then they also cast Theo Rossi, or Rossi, who was on Sons of Anarchy. He was Juice Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna be playing Shades in Luke Cage.
Ooh.
Who's gonna be apparently another villain? And I guess he kind of has Cyclops powers, but he's not blind, but he's like a visor that can shoot optic beams.
Optic blast. That's cool. I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering when the hell we're gonna see a trailer for Jessica Jones, because that's like supposed to be. We have like.
I think it's just gonna kind of like come out.
Yeah. Because it's like before the end of the year. It's like there's three months left of the year. Netflix.
Well, they show that promotional thing of like her riding a motorcycle or something, and that was it.
Was that promotional? That's just like behind the scenes. Like
I don't know. You see, it's like she doesn't dress up, so it's like it's just her. Like in her street clothes.
Yeah.
It's just like it's images from the bitch from like the other TV shows.
Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Yeah, it's just like clips from that.
Or Breaking Bad. Just like.
It's her choking on her vomit. Like, ah.
Oh.
Bryan Cranston is the main villain of Jessica Jones.
Spoiler alert, I am the danger.
So yeah, so I guess they're gearing up for some Luke Cage here. So they'll be, I think it's supposed to be like fall next year, because I think Daredevil season 2 is gonna be the same time that Daredevil season 1 was this year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It was a great way to start the spring. Just boom, Daredevil,
Punisher,
house. Yeah, spring has sprung.
Prepare to be punished.
Violence, yeah. Did you guys see that picture that John Bernthal posted?
I'm just like him in front of like a ton of guns.
Fuck yes.
Yep.
Yeah, without any context, you just assume, holy shit, this guy is just running around with auto, like it's a lot of guns.
Man, I don't care. That was like beautiful to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. I wonder if that's his personal, like if that's gonna be Frank's personal stash or that's something like he busses.
It might also be like just like a prop room thing set up, because it's like he's in, like it looks like he has like gun store walls up, which I'm not saying he needs to live in the sewer, but like I don't know, fucking that looks a little too like,
unless it's like Microchip's house or something. Is Microchip gonna be in the show?
Cause that'd be amazing. I don't know.
I think he should. I think he needs to be. It just might not be the first, or it just might not be like season 1 of Punisher's story. Mm-hmm. You know, like it'll probably be Daredevil season 3, if anything. I don't know.
So, yeah, so that's it for news this week. So when we get into show and tell, and Joe, what have you been watching over the last week or so?
I've watched a few random things. I'll try to keep it quick. So, to start things off, I watched Interstellar, finally.
You never saw it before?
Nah, I didn't see it.
Okay.
So, it's also been in my living room for like a month and a half. Netflix. So, it was decent.
Mm-hmm.
I probably would have enjoyed it a lot more if I had seen it in IMAX 3D, like at the height of its popularity.
I don't think it was in 3D. I think it was just like...
Whatever.
Because Christopher Nolan's thing is like Tarantino's thing where it's like, film!
Well, yeah, he's very up his own ass, which is fine. But long story short is I think that it was a very good movie, but I also think there are a ton of fucking holes that kind of took you out of it and
that,
made it
that ending enjoyable. Is
terrible.
Fucking insane, yes.
It's or the fact that Christian Nolan can't get rid of bombs. He just likes bombs in movies.
Yeah. I mean, about halfway through that movie, it just becomes a totally different movie
mm-hmm.
and not in a good way. Spoiler alert, the whole Matt Damon thing I thought was borderline stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get why it's there and it was cool, but, like, it went on way too long. And then it became, like, he became, like, a caricature. He might as well have been, like, a 1920s villain, like, twirling a mustache.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So that was a little bit much for me. And,
The Tesseract?
Yeah. Oh, come on, man. And then, like, the whole fucking, like, Indian in the cupboard thing with the book, like, using gravity yep. and, like,
My favorite terrible thing about the ending is, like, because we're doing spoilers and stuff, is, like, so he shows up, and, like, so he's, it's, like, his daughter, and then, like, all of it, like, his, like, entire family he's never met. He's just, like, hey, bye. I'm back, bye.
Yeah.
And then doesn't talk to any of his, like, extended family, like, hey, this is, like, your grandson and, like, your great-nephew, and it's, like, you've never met any of them. It's just, like, I don't really care.
Yeah, this is your gay nephew, Jeff.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing going on. The other thing with that is that, like, he just basically went from one end of the universe to the other
mm-hmm.
to try to save this bitch. Because he's not doing it for him. You know, he's doing it for his family.
Yeah.
He comes back, and she's like, no parent should have to watch their child die.
I'm good.
Like, bitch, fuck you. I'd be like, you know how fucking hard, you know they try to kill me on not Mars? You know Matt Damon headbutted me to death?
I went through a goddamn black hole, Murph.
Yeah, pretty much. I was in your fucking, I lived in a goddamn bookcase.
Yeah.
Okay? I was your ghost.
I was in infinity.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you were able to communicate through a space bookshelf, like, wouldn't you do more than just move a book and play with dust?
Yeah.
I'd like to hope that you could do more than that, but I guess not. Unless the, like, aliens that were doing it were just total cunts.
Oh, yeah. They
weren't aliens, though. There was us in the future. Like, it was our, like, evolved selves.
It was aliens.
But the bullshit part is, like, the best you could use for a communication device is a space bookshelf.
Space shelf.
And like, a wristwatch.
Yeah.
That can, like, download, like...
You think that he could have taken a fucking crayon. Like, that bitch didn't have any pens in her room.
Yeah.
You know, he
like, zap it to a computer or something. Like,
yeah.
I felt bad for the black guy in that movie, though. He, like, stays aboard and, like, yeah. has to wait, like, 20 years.
That guy must have gone through so many tissues. Like, I don't even know. What the fuck does he do? He doesn't have electronics. He doesn't have music. Like, he's going to run out of paper if he starts doodling.
Yeah.
You know? And wouldn't he be, like, 400 pounds? He'd be like, oh, all I could do was sleep and eat. Like, I stopped doing push-ups after the third year, so I'm just kind of fucking doing my thing. And by doing my thing, I meant we have no more food. So, yeah, Interstellar, overall, I'd say it was a solid, like, B,
mm-hmm.
but I, you know, it wasn't this, like, fucking game-changing movie that so many people were like, oh, Christopher Nolan, oh, God.
The Martian is going to be, like, the... space movie that Interstellar wanted to be, I think.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, Matt Damon's back, so...
Yeah, I think they need to stop letting Matt Damon go to space, and I think people are going to get real confused. Anyone who saw Interstellar and doesn't follow, like, movie production, they're going to be like, is this a sequel? Like, what is this?
Am I correct? Was Matt Damon in Apollo 13, or am I correct insane?
No.
No.
Okay.
He was in some space movie, though.
Oh,
shit.
I think of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, you
Kevin
are.
Kevin Bacon was in space. He's
yeah.
One. Yeah, but...
I can't think of it. But anyway, Interstellar. I think it's not my favorite in-between Batman movies, Nolan movie. or after Batman movie, Nolan movie. I think it's probably The Prestige and then Inception for me, and then Interstellar. And the other reason I say Prestige is just because it was so fucking out of nowhere.
Yep.
And I really enjoyed it. I think it's got a tremendous cast, but not that this doesn't have a good cast. It was just, you know, Matthew McConaughey to me was the best thing about this movie. I thought he was very, very good. Always great to see Michael Caine, et cetera, et cetera.
Except Michael Caine, like the world's greatest asshole.
The world's biggest douche. Yeah. And like nobody like thought to figure, nobody put those pieces together. You know, like, hey, maybe he's trying to make himself look good. Like, nah, he's fine. He's Michael Caine. The next night, I watched the unauthorized Full House story.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, that came out already.
Yeah. Oh, that came out. And now that's their new niche, is just making unauthorized story movies of 80s and 90s sitcoms.
Mm-hmm.
I think the next one is 90210, and then they're also doing one for Melrose Place.
And then one before Full House was Saved by the Bell, I think.
Yeah, yep, yeah, I forgot they did that. So,
like, I didn't know they did that.
Oh, man, yeah, we got to get hammered and watch these together. Let me tell you something. This unauthorized Full House story was painful.
Oh,
like,
no.
Oh, it was bad. Like, especially because they got people who, like... Like, the guy who played John Stamos looked just fucking like him and did a great job. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, he was the best part of that movie. Like, the Olsen twins looked nothing like the Olsen twins, which is
like
okay.
Two black kids.
Yeah, the Danny Tanner guy, like, nothing like Danny Tanner. And, like, didn't... Or the Bob Saget guy, nothing like Bob Saget. Like, didn't have the mannerisms of Bob Saget. Like, I'm familiar with Bob Saget outside of Full House, and, like, that just was not, like... That's someone who watched a few episodes of Full House, smoked a cigarette, and then, like, showed up on set and was like, let's roll. The Dave Coulier guy was passable. Sort of closer to the John Stamos guy than the Bob Saget guy. But there was just so much, like, unnecessary drama. And it's Lifetime, so they can't be like, well, he went into a cocaine blitz. It was like, oh, he stayed out late at the bar last night, and oh, that's going to end in a divorce. Like, there's so much that they left out. Like, when they say it's the unauthorized story, you would think it's going to be this crazy, like, risque thing, but it's like, oh my god, Bob just told an inappropriate joke in front of the Olsen twins. And he's like, they can't talk, it's fine. And the parents are like, we want to turn them into a brand. Like, it basically just painted the Olsen twins family to look like total scumbags.
Oh.
Yeah. It... I don't know. It was depressing, but oddly entertaining at the same time. So I highly suggest you get a six pack of your favorite beer and check out that movie sometime. And you could also drink anytime they say Full House, and you will have a wonderful time. After that, I saw Caddyshack because it's a great movie. Why not? I don't really think we need to say anything about Caddyshack that hasn't been said, other than I'm great.
Don't see the sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't see the sequel. And don't watch it too much. It's one of those movies that kind of loses its charm a little bit if you watch it too much. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of losing charm, I saw The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. Not good. Not gonna lie to you. I was expecting a lot more from that movie. I really was. I did not care for it. I thought it was a little too, like, hipstery for me, which is, you know, you'd expect that from Wes Anderson.
Yeah, I was
going to say,
like, isn't it literally every Wes Anderson movie?
Yes and no. I thought that, like, the Grand Budapest Hotel, for instance, was much more accessible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it was just straight up kind of funnier, you know? And I don't mean to sound ignorant or whatever. I understand what they're going for with, you know, with that movie. They wanted something that was a little more appealing to wide audiences, but... With this, it's just, like, everything's an inside joke. Like, the Bowie stuff I got and appreciated and thought was cool. But, like, I could, like, this isn't a movie I could, like, show my dad. You know? I couldn't be like, hey, watch this. Be like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is terrible. What's going on? What's happening?
You're not my son.
Yeah, exactly. I think, like, a lot of, there's some sort of, like, incongruity, which made it funny. Like, Willem Dafoe having, like, a weird German accent the whole time and... You know, the whole idea of his best friend being eaten by a shark and the ridiculous hat and just Owen Wilson being Owen Wilson, but you know,
what about the ending? What about the ending when like it just ramps to be something completely different?
Yeah, I don't really know where that came from, but I understand what it was trying to say. I don't know, man. Like, it wasn't a bad movie. It's just that, you know, compared to the other Wes Anderson stuff I've seen, I just didn't really... I thought it was going to be better than it was, I guess. I don't know. Maybe if I had seen that before some of the other ones, I would have enjoyed it more. But I feel like having seen some of his more recent stuff and then going back to that, it's a little bit... it's a little disappointing. I don't know. Maybe I just need to see it again, because that's something that a lot of people say his movies kind of grow on you or whatever.
They're like haunting, because like you'll think about certain things and you'll see it, and it's just the visual stuff and then the whole like,
yeah,
you know, yeah, get used to his humor, and it's like, I guess, yeah.
Oh,
like,
totally. Totally. Yeah, listen, again, it's not a bad movie. I just didn't like it as much as I was expecting to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, that's fine. That's a perfect ballot.
So then the last thing I saw, mercifully, was The Curse of the Jade Scorpion, the Woody Allen movie from the mid-90s, mid to late 90s? Might have been early 2000s.
Hugh Jackman?
No. Those come later. I think that was Scoop. That's on Netflix right now, and it's actually a pretty good movie. Scarlett Johansson and Hugh Jackman, pretty good. But yeah, so the Curse of the Jade Scorpion was Helen Hunt and Woody Allen and Dan Aykroyd. It was really good, man. I mean, it had like this really classic sort of hokey comedy thing going, where it was like Helen Hunt and Woody Allen are like at each other's throats at work. Like, it takes place in 1940, which is great because everything's like super chauvinistic and kind of like Mad Men-ish, and then Helen Hunt is like this total bull dyke who comes in there and like doesn't really want to play by those rules, and like she's sent in there to she's an efficiency expert, so she's basically undoing Woody Allen's like life's work. He's a he's an insurance claims investigator, so he's basically one of those gumshoe private eyes who like L.A. noirs it and like goes out to like house fires and is like, oh, that's interesting. This looks like it was tampered with.
No insurance for you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's his whole thing. But he also does it for like insured like valuables. So like he'll go to rich people's houses and show them how to like hide jewels and, you know, rare art and stuff like that. Long story short, they get hypnotized at some party by this hypnotist, magician, whatever, and they get like safe words or code words, one being Constantinople, the other being Madagascar, and whenever Woody Allen hears Constantinople, he falls under the influence of the hypnotist. So he does it, and basically they go under this hypnosis, and he's like, oh, you're on a desert island and you're in love, and it's hilarious because they hate each other, but they're basically about to bang each other on stage. And then he like brings them out of it. They have no recollection of what happened. And you're like, okay, they got hypnotized. That's cool. Here's where the movie gets really funny. What happens from here is that this hypnotist turns out to be a jewel thief who uses people that he hypnotizes to go and steal these valuables for him. So Woody Allen just gets a call like in the middle of the night. And it's just this voice on the other end of the phone that says, Constantinople. And then he tells him, like, you will go to this place and do this, and you will blah, 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 blah. So, like, he's basically sent to go investigate his own robberies. And it just gets very it gets very funny from there. What I really like about this movie is that it's definitely a Woody Allen comedy. Like, there's no drama to this movie. It's very accessible. Like, I think it's a great Woody Allen movie to, like, show somebody who isn't necessarily a fan of his or hasn't seen his work, because it's a little more modern. It's not in black and white. There's no heavy like what is life, what is love sort of stuff going on, where it's like, oh well, we swapped wives and then never talked to each other again, but it all worked out for the best. Like, no. that's not like beginner mode. That's hard mode shit. You don't want to start with that. But yeah, it's very good. It came out on DVD and VHS, but it's very hard to find either of those. Like, I know Netflix doesn't even have it on DVD or anything like that. You have to basically torrent it if you want to see it. But I saw it on a Cinemax Go, which was cool. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think it's definitely right behind Play It Again, Sam, and I guess Stardust Memories as far as my Woody Allen comedies that I'm most grateful for having. And that's basically what I got. But yeah, guys, I definitely recommend checking that out because it's like a rare, underrated Woody Allen movie. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Well, it's weird because on the trivia on IMDb, like, apparently, like, Woody Allen hates that movie because, like, he couldn't find anyone to star in it, so he had to star in it himself.
Yeah, well, he went that's when he stopped really being in his own movies.
He's just like, oh, I gotta do it myself.
Yeah, that's why he started, it's kind of funny, if you ever watch that, like, 4.5-hour documentary on Woody Allen that was on Netflix a while ago, he basically talks about how he started casting these, like, you know, really great actors or, like, really handsome actors, like Hugh Jackman, for instance, Chris, mm-hmm. like, he casts Hugh Jackman as, like, this male lead who he kind of sees himself as or, like, idealizes himself to be, but isn't, and, like, that's kind of the hilarious part of it, whereas, like, with Midnight in Paris with Owen Wilson, it's, like, he kind of sees that as, like, him as the new version of Woody Allen, sort of, because, like, he's playing Woody Allen the whole time. Like, he's not Woody Allen, but he's got all the Woody-isms going on, and he does a really great job of copying it, which is awesome. And, you know, Woody Allen is in Scoop, that movie with Hugh Jackman and Scarlett Johansson that I'm talking about, but it's just funny because he, you know, writes these parts for people who he envisions himself to be in, like, in a perfect world, and then, like, stars next to them or directs them or whatever. But yeah, it is weird that he doesn't like it. I could see why he doesn't like it. I think it's because it doesn't have a lot of that heady or emotional stuff going on. But it's just kind of like a fun old-timey mystery with a lot of classic, like, Woody Allen comedy and banter and wordplay in it. And if you're into that sort of thing, we should check out this film.
Mm-hmm. I forgot to mention before we started Show and Tell, but we all saw...
I thought we got away with it.
We all saw Masters of the Universe, the Dolph Lundgren classic.
Oh boy, did we.
Which, I don't know if that's going to be our movie of the month for September, or we're going to pick something else, but they'll be coming soon. The drunken commentary we watched, this is a universe that has, I try to figure out why it has nothing to do with the cartoon.
Like, the first 20 minutes are awesome, and then it just, like, it derails.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, why do we care about Monica? And
yeah, Courtney Cox and, like, her stupid rocker boyfriend who's like, I found a synthesizer!
Like, for a boyfriend that's gonna be dumped, like, the minute she gets on a plane, he's really supportive.
Mm-hmm.
So... it's amazing. You can see why this movie's isn't on TV anymore.
Yeah, that used to be on, like, Channel 11 where we lived, Chris, like, in Brooklyn. Yep. It was, like, the Saturday afternoon.
Just Saturday afternoon. I remember, like, it for, like, a good, like, every other weekend I would see it, and just, I never had to own it, you know, because it was always on TV.
Lundgren Saturdays.
They used to double feature Death Wish. Death Wish 1 and 2. I'm like, it's Sunday at 2. Like, why are you showing this?
I should remember, I think my local, like, UPN would just show Sniper, like, every other Saturday.
Yep.
Tom Berenger is Sniper.
Heavily edited, like, Sniper movie.
Yeah.
Imagine the movie was, like, an hour long.
I'm glad we grew up when we did. These channels don't do that shit anymore.
After, like, the Action Pack or whatever.
Yeah.
The UPN Action Pack, where it was, like, Hercules Xena, and there's, like, the Saturday movie.
Oh, I do want to throw in a random sort of aside here, but we were doing some drinking of adult beverages for this, and as a little warm-up, we were watching some of the, you know, YouTube commercial things.
Yeah.
And, like, remember, what year did we watch?
97.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Dude, I went back and watched, like, 10 of those with my girlfriend. It was up to, like, 3 o'clock on Monday night.
Yeah, they are amazing.
You didn't play the drinking game rules, right? Because, like, Asa got killed with music video.
Because, yeah, like, every 10 seconds was, like, because he always cuts back the, It's like the Peterson is like the guy, the user on YouTube who does all those. Like, he always gets back to like, he or she always gets back to like a music video, and it's like 10 seconds of like something else. It's like music video, music video, music video.
Well, cause there's so many music videos, and like, that's what I tend to remember the most. But like, oh man, I wasn't drinking, thankfully, but it did fuck me up for the next work day. Said like
definitely
3 hours.
Definitely check out all those, and then like there's some like knockoff ones that are pretty good, like who are like, because like if you go to, like if you go on like I think it's like there's like a blog spot or something that's like the Peterson, and it's like there's like like these are, we're gonna do all these years, and it's like here's what we've done so far.
he or she is missing a few, but I mean they've done a fine job. So even the knockoff ones are still pretty like pretty good. They're not as good, I think, but they're pretty fucking close.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a fun little follow up.
Mm-hmm. So have you seen anything, Chris?
I riding off the buzz, I watched Next Friday.
Okay.
Because it was just on. And I was just like, I'm too lazy to change the channel. Definitely not the worst Friday of the Friday movies, but definitely can't beat Friday.
Is there only two, or is there
three?
Was it Friday, Next Friday, and Friday After Next. Okay.
And
which they actually they show at the end of Street Outta Compton.
Really?
There's like a montage at the end of Street Outta Compton, like showing like all the like actual things that happened, and then just like this like weird like montage of like Ice Cube's acting resume. It's like Friday, Are We There Yet? XXX. It's like those random like sequence of like right before the credits start. It's just like, this is what Ice Cube did.
Did they show Dr. Dre hitting D. Barnes? Because that would be great.
No, they just show him like it's like selling beats for like $3 billion, whatever it was.
From what I read about Straight Outta Compton, they really glossed over the terrible parts of everyone.
Yeah, like fuck violence and drug dealing and.
Yeah, they gloss over the fact that like Dre just like punched every other person in the face.
Yeah,
or that like you know, what's his face got AIDS, and it's like it's a conspiracy theory that it was like Suge Knight's doing.
Yeah, Suge Knight like injected him with it allegedly.
Yeah,
so that's
so they're just like
they really kind of skip that one.
So anyway, so next Friday,
You know, picks up I think like the actual Next Friday from the first movie Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's actually like 5 years later from the first movie, something like that. Like Friday was like 93. This is like 98, 99. This is like 2001. I think Next Friday.
It was a few years later.
Yeah.
Sure. A few years later. So, you know, like this is like, oh, because of the cult following Friday has, this movie tries to like, highlight all the funny parts of it, but it totally like neglects like the humor in like street like South LA like living, because like they go to suburbia, like it's just like, why, you know, like the funny part was the neighborhood and the community characters, let's move that away and go to suburbia. So I'm like,
just turns like House Party.
Not even House Party, like there's a certain charm to it. This is like, they were really, if you told me this was an indie comedy, this would be like not bad. But the fact that like, I think a lot, like they dumped some money into this, you know, like they didn't put a lot of money. You could see, you could tell, but like they put more money than the first movie that became a cult classic. So this is like, oh, let's try to repeat the magic, but they kind of did things a lot differently. Like there's still drug references. There's still like gang references. There's still like Ice Cube trying to like just do his shit and then still doing nothing, you know, like there's no plot really, you know, they try to insert one about like bills, because apparently like his cousin lives in suburbia, but they don't pay taxes because they're lazy. And so they owe tax money. And so instead of like doing something reasonable, they just have to rob like their neighbors, this like cholo gang, to get their money. And it's like, they're assholes all around, like, and again, they're repeating the whole same process about stealing from Debo, and then out of nowhere, Debo shows up too. So, and then the fact that like they kind of like build up to it, and Debo basically, like, gets arrested again. Like, doesn't get knocked out. He just gets arrested. So it's like, oh, you are missing all the things that made Friday funny. Even though it features some of it, but it's like they don't use any of it. And I'm like, I enjoy, like, the Friday films. Like, I don't mind this as an entry because I know, like, the third one's the worst one. Because that's the one that takes place at Christmas, and it's like, for some strange reason, Terry Crews is the Debo character this time. So, just like looking back, I think I rented this movie. That way, like, we saw this movie once when we were kids, Joe, I think. We rented this, too.
Probably.
Yeah, and then, it definitely doesn't hold up. Like, some of the jokes hold up, though. Some of it's pretty funny, like, universally. And that's always because, like, the dad character is pretty funny.
Oh, John Witherspoon?
Yeah, John Witherspoon. His comedy's, like, classic.
I feel
like
5 pounds lighter.
He's the same character, like, in most of his movies anyway. Like, you hire John Witherspoon to be John Witherspoon. He was the same in, like, the Wayne Brothers TV show. He was the same in, like, Boondocks. He's just John Witherspoon. You hire John Witherspoon for that. But Ice Cube, though, like, it's so weird because did they have, like, a... Was he? I guess he was trying to transition to, like, family-friendly comedies, right? So, like, this is, like, one of his... He took a break from being, like, a tough guy to then start doing, like, weird family-friendly comedy stuff where he's, like, a funny dad or something. So, which I think ended when he became Triple X. I mean, so it's, like, this weird dead period where he just, like, was slowly transitioning and trying different acting, quote-unquote. But I think he just realized, I can't be, like, I can't be in a romantic comedy. Like, let me just be me and, you know, play myself in 21 Jump Street. So it's great to see, like, again, the fact that they highlighted, like, next Friday as part of, like, the Street of Compton, Where Are They Now? parts. It's, like, kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I definitely go see it. Like, I mean, not, like, you go rush out and see it, but if you happen to, like, catch it, if you've never seen Next Friday... But, like, like Caddyshack, we mentioned, like, just go see the first one. You don't have to deal with these weird spinoff or sequel movies. Mm-hmm. But if they ever do a reboot of Friday, that's weird, right? Like, like, there's still potential, but it's like, would you really want to see it? I believe even the weird spiritual sequel to Friday is, like, Lotto. Like, the lottery ticket.
Or, like, Soul Plane or something.
No. Lotto was just like Friday with, like, a bully in this terrible neighborhood, and like Bow Wow won a Lotto ticket, so, but then, like, a neighborhood bully, like, wants it, and then Ice-T's in there too. Like, I know Ice Cube's in there. He's mm-hmm. basically, like, the same character. So, yeah, black comedies, fun.
Anything else, Chris?
I think that's it. I'll talk about another movie once we kind of get ready. I saw a Bond movie, but I'm not ready to talk about that yet.
Okay. Well, I watched a few things. I saw Show Me a Hero, which is the thing that was on a few weeks ago on HBO. It's like a HBO miniseries. Written by David Simon, who created The Wire. And then directed by Paul Haggis, who directed Crash. So, kind of like a weird, like, super, like, subtle, awesome, like, multi-character things. And, like, terrible, heavy-handed multi-character things coming together. But it's about, like, what happened in the 80s, like, late 80s, early 90s in Yonkers, New York. Where they were basically forced by the federal government to, like, make low-income housing. And then, like, the Yonkers City Council was like, hell no, we're not going to do this. And then it was, like, them fighting the courts. And then, like, Nick Wasisco gets reelected. He was the youngest mayor in the country for, like, a major city. And, like, he was basically the one kind of, like, trying to, like, get this whole thing passed. And then Oscar Isaac plays Nick Wasisco. And then there's, like, a bunch of other... like Jim Belushi's in it, and Alfred Molina, and Winona Ryder, and John Bernthal, Catherine Keener. It's like an all-star cast, and it's focuses on, like, the city council and, like, what they're doing, and then, like, kind of, like, spins up and then shows, like, what people who are actually living in, like, the projects and, like, the low-income housing is actually going through. So it was pretty interesting. It's like it sounds like housing like housing and like zoning conflicts seems like it would be pretty boring, but it's actually pretty interesting the way they lay it out in this miniseries. And yet some really good period stuff. Like there's a ton of like there's like Springsteen like all over, like I don't know how much they paid, but it was like they paid like a good amount for the soundtrack. There's like tons of Springsteen, like tons of other like 80s and 90s songs in there, so we're checking out. Like it's basically like I've heard everyone who like watched The Wire, like this is basically like it's got as good reviews as The Wire, so which everyone says is like the greatest television show of all time, so So yeah, so six episodes, it's probably on like HBO Now if you want to catch up on that. Also watched the first episode of the Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon, which is on Disney XD now. Which, same style and same team that does Avengers Assemble. But I think it's definitely, I think it's better than Avengers Assemble just because, like, that was, we're trying to make this more like the movies, and they canceled the incredible Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which is, easily top five like comic book cartoons of all time.
Well, they do just to reboot it, or they just canceled it because low ratings.
They canceled it because it's like we need to make this more like movies.
Jesus.
So that pissed everyone off, and then they were like they were doing the stories in Avengers Assemble were like nowhere near as good as like Earth's Mightiest Heroes, because like Earth's Mightiest Heroes were like just straight up doing like comic book stories, like they're like it was like they were doing like it's like Secret Invasion and like Civil War and like all these, like they're like just throwing in like tons of like classic comic stories in there, and like Avengers Assemble was like we gotta fight Red Skull, who somehow is like wearing Iron Man armor now and stuff,
and he's robbing a bank,
yeah,
a Dairy Queen.
He and like the same five villains every week are just doing things.
Ah, boo.
But yeah, I think Guardians better because like it's from right off the bat it's like supposed to be like the movie, so it's not like James Gunn. It's not like this isn't like the sequel, or it's not like this isn't like filling the gap between Guardians movies. This is just kind of like a spiritual, in the same vein as the movie. It's the same like characters from the movie, but it's not. If you don't watch the show, you're not gonna be confused about what's going on in Guardians 2. Like it's separate from the movies, but it's in that same sort of style. So if you like the movie,
it weaves in and out.
It's not even gonna weave in and out. It's just like this is like it's. Like a side thing, like it's like the Guardians from the movie, but like in their own sort of like animated universe now. And then also has like the awesome mix is like within 10 seconds they're playing like Hooked on a Feeling, so in the show. So they also play like Funk Number 49 from the James Gang at one point. So yeah, definitely the awesome mix is in full effect on the cartoon. It's got the same sort of like everyone's kind of is similar to like how they were in the movie. And some of the voice acting is a little weird. Like they got I forget who it is, but like because they bring Yondu back, and it's like super like it's clear like they're not even it's weird like they're not doing a Michael Rooker impression. They're doing this weird like other like southern like weird southern impression, but it's like not even anything close to Michael Rooker. So that's a little weird. But overall, I think it was pretty good. They're after another artifact, they're after Korath the Pursuer, who like has like some new artifact that could like destroy the galaxy. So,
is the first episode already like assembled? Everyone's there, or they like slowly pick up everyone?
Oh yeah, they're fully. It's, the Guardians are fully assembled. Like it feels like it's like taking place after the movie. So like they have this, it's the same ship and they're all together and like they're like they run into like they run into Yondu and Korath and like other people from the movie. But then also the other cool thing is like they go back to like Nowhere, which is like the space station, and like Cosmo is like fully in charge now, like he's supposed to be, like the cosmonaut space dog, who's like he has telepathic powers and like is like the head of security for Nowhere. Which, if you saw the movie, like he was like part of the collectors collection, basically.
Yeah, that's a lot of take in, so yeah, they go with the traditional route in the cartoon, which is nice. This is where it's supposed to be. They could be playful with the concepts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they meet, so the Guardians meet Cosmo, and like he like is like talking to them about, and then like the big thing is like there's some sort of weird artifact that like basically makes Nowhere come back to life. So it's like celestials.
Guardian heads.
Yeah, the celestial, yeah. Like the head's coming back to life, and like everyone's getting like there's some sort of weird like defense system that's coming on now. So yeah, it's worth checking out, I think, if you're a fan of the Guardians movie, and you want to like kill some time before Guardians 2 comes out. It's on a weird like Disney XD schedule though, so it's like the first episode was last Saturday, and now the next one's not gonna be until like for 3 weeks, so it's like
Monday at midnight.
Yeah, and also that Guardians Fall schedule, where it's like episode 4 weeks, episode 3 weeks, episode 2 weeks. It's like, I don't know why Disney XD cannot like figure out like just like a straight schedule. But then as far as movies go, I watched Rambo 3 because all of those are on Netflix right now, and that's the one I've definitely seen like, I guess the one I've seen the least, because like 1 and 2 are always on AMC or something, yeah. And then like 3, I'm ramboed out by the time 3 starts or on AMC or like just whatever for whatever reason. Like I've seen 3 like a couple times, but then I've seen like 1 and 2 and then also like 4 like 30 times or whatever. So
is that Vietnam or Iraq?
Three.
The one where he brings America to
Afghanistan. Yeah, he's helping the Taliban basically.
That was cool at the time.
Yeah, because they were the Mujahideen at the time, and they were fighting the evil Soviets, so we were buddies with them.
Yeah, because
when you're real far.
But yeah, because like that, I've been playing Metal Gear Solid 5, so it's like right there at the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, huh.
Selling some is Snake selling them Stinger missiles? Because that's the whole. It's basically the whole thing is like America was selling like giving the Mujahideen Stinger missiles to like shoot down Soviet helicopters.
Yep, same. That's like the half. That's like the first hour of the game. Mm-hmm. Is just talking about the goddamn honeybee stinger missiles.
Yep.
And you're like, yeah, go find them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but like, I think for me, like, Rambo 3 is definitely like the weakest one. I think.
Three.
I would definitely put like 4 above 3.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. It's like what? it's 1, 2, 4, 3. I think is like the ranking.
All
right, because like it kind of feels like it's the same stuff that happened in 2, but like it was done way better in 2, and just a lot the first like hour or so is like not really, there's not a whole like action that happens. It's like it's just Rambo just like meeting the Mujahideen, like playing some weird like their weird like goat game where they take out like a goat corpse and like throw it into a whole like a circle.
No, that's a real game.
I know it's a real game. It's just like it's just weird. It's just it's like a weird Rambo activity to be doing.
Well, because he's not like Thai kickboxing, so he has to do something like unique to the culture.
Yeah, well, it's like the first time you see Rambo's movie, like and like Rambo 3, he's like in like he's like a like Malaysian stick fighter or something. And that's where he's making like extra money, and then like he's also like living in like a monastery, and then Kurtwood Smith and Colonel Troutman show up and like, hey, Rambo, we need you to go with us to Afghanistan to sell Stinger missiles. And so Troutman gets captured, so that's why Rambo goes into Afghanistan to, like, rescue Troutman. So, yeah, so I guess that's probably the best part about 3, though, is, like, it's you finally get to see, like, Troutman and Rambo team up together to kick some ass.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I like 3.
Yeah. And Rambo drives a tank into a helicopter at one point, so... And then there's another like awesome, like every movie has an awesome Troutman line, but the one in 3 is pretty awesome, where it's like he's like the Russians are like asking him like what, like who is this person coming to rescue him, and he's like, who does this man think he is, God? And then Troutman's like, God would have mercy, Rambo does it.
I thought that was a tagline on like one of the posters.
Yeah, I think it was. It was like God has mercy, he doesn't, or something.
Yeah. Into the oiliest like Rambo on the paper.
Yeah. So I mean, it's fucking Rambo. Like it's awesome still, but like it's definitely like compared to like if you're ranking them, like it's probably the lowest one. It's the least delicious steak of the four steaks. Like it's slightly overcooked than the other ones or something. And then the other movie I watched is The Ghost in the Darkness.
I feel like you watch this once a year, Zach.
Oh God.
Actually, I think last year I might have started it and never finished it or something. Or like it's been on my Netflix queue for like 5 years.
That's where we talked about it.
Yeah. It's the classic creature feature where Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas fight lions in like 1860s Africa. Where Michael Douglas is like the worst animal expert in the history of film. Because they build him up as like he's like the expert lion hunter, and then like his big plan is to, like, build a new hospital, like using an old hospital as bait, and then like the lions just go to attack the new hospital and like murder him in the hospital. And Michael Douglas is like, oops.
The Ghost of the Darkness is what they refer to the two lions, right?
Yeah, they're like, it's like some like they're like the all the workers are like think that like these lions are not like they're like mystical forces of evil. So it's like these like the Ghost in Darkness like these like demons basically, and they're crazed manhunters. So they don't even like eat these people. They just murder them for like the sport, I guess. But yeah, it's like a solid like if you're a fan of like animal attack movies like you know like Lake Placid or Anaconda or something. It's in that vein. With I guess like the added bonus that's like in like the 1800s, so it's got that Victorian English like sort of like layer over it. Val Kilmer's doing a terrible Irish accent.
He was Irish?
He's supposed to be Irish, yeah.
Like I feel like I watched the movie, he drops that accent like halfway through.
It wavers so much, and like even in, like in the beginning of the movie, it's just like he's like flowing. It's like sometimes he's like super Irish, and sometimes he's just like kind of normal British. And like Tom Wilkinson is in it, and he's like the evil like person running like the railroad, and he's just like right out of the bat, he's just like, I'm a monster. You're gonna hate me. Shh. Go build my damn railroad.
This is honest.
Yeah. I guess it's based on a true story too. There was a pair of lions that were like attacking this railroad. At the end of the movie, they said you can go visit like the Ghost in Darkness, like the actual like stuffed lions in like the Chicago Field Museum or something.
Really?
Yeah. They have like the actual lions that were like attacking everybody.
You want to go cosplay as Michael Douglas and Val Kilmer?
Yes. You'll see it. Mm-hmm. I'm Remington. I'm Charles Remington.
wait. Was one of them really Charles Remington?
Yeah, Charles Remington is Michael Douglas, and then John Patterson, that's Colonel John Henry Patterson, is Val Kilmer.
Because, wait, like, was he the Remington from, like, the gun company?
I don't think so.
Okay, because I'm like, spoiler alert, Michael Douglas does a shit job with the gun.
Yes.
So I'm like, that's terrible that was based on what happened to the real Remington guy, who just, like, just not to spoil again, but doesn't he get killed?
Yeah, like... He like the lion just sneaks in, like ninjas him out of the tent, and then you never see him again. Like you just like you don't see his body, you don't see him get killed. It's like Val Kilmer wakes up the next morning. He's like, "Well, Michael Douglas is dead." So I guess
yeah. As I remember that, and then it became mostly a Val Kilmer movie by the end of it.
Yeah,
I think Michael Douglas had something to do that day. He's just like, "I'll be back," and they just never like filmed anything else.
Yeah, well, they basically set him up they set him up like Sean Connery in fucking like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, where he's just like the world's greatest hunter, like world's greatest marksman.
Yeah, but he's really terrible in this movie because he's like drunk and then like he can't organize shit.
Yeah. So But I guess, yeah, they sold the lions for $5,000 to the Chicago Field Museum, and they're still there.
It's like, I know what to do next time I go to Chicago besides eat the hot dogs. Mm-hmm. Just like, I'll go see like a dead lion. Just awesome.
I think, did they just make, I'm looking at like the Wikipedia article about the Tsavo Man Eaters, which is like the lions. Because it was in like the site that the bridge was Tsavo. And I think they just made up Michael Douglas's character, I think.
They had to, because it's just like comically incompetent.
Because it's all just about like Patterson.
Well, I mean, he of the survivors, it makes sense to talk about the survivor more.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the one who actually killed them, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He Michael Douglas doesn't kill one.
Well, in the movie he kills the first one, then like gets killed by the second one, so then Val Kilmer has to kill the last one.
Hmm.
And also, like, Val Kilmer kills just another random lion, like with one shot, like at the beginning of the movie, and everyone's like, "Oh, he did it! He killed the lion."
Time to party! Woo!
Yeah.
So, watch Howling Wheels season 10. Is this?
Oh my god! Yes, that would be amazing if it's if there's just,
just
random lions show up.
I mean, like it do so much in Howling.
Going to Africa.
Yeah, it's like, they could do so much of Hell on Wheels in the West when they're actually done. Then it's like, well, time to build trains somewhere else.
I would be down for, like, a miniseries or something. If it's, like a Hell on Wheels, like, miniseries where it's, like, like, Cullen Bohannon is going to, like, Africa for like, some reason. Actually, Michael Douglas' character is basically, like, the same character. It's, like, he should be a Hell on Wheels character because, like, he was in the Civil War. Is like a Confederate, and then like his entire family got murdered, so he's like, he moved to Africa.
That's what you do.
But yeah, so that's on Netflix if you want to check that out. And also, all three Rambo movies are on Netflix, so definitely get on those. I wonder, like, it's weird, like, 4 is not, like, just Rambo is not on Netflix, but like, the first three are, so I guess there's like a weird, like, separate deal or something.
Isn't like Rambo like
Rambo is like Lionsgate, I think, so it's like, I guess it's like separate licensing or something.
Yeah, that's why I never see in a giant pack. It's always like Rambo 1-4, then like Rambo, like, you know, then Rambo by itself.
Because I think the first, like, the Rambo original trilogy is like Carolco. So whoever owns Carolco's movies now,
sitting on a gold mine.
So, yeah, this is going to do it for me, so I think we can wrap this thing up for the week. Definitely stay tuned to the site for our Masters of the Universe commentary going up sometime soon here in the near future, and all the other random stuff as well. Also, stay tuned to our Twitter and Facebook pages this coming weekend if you're listening to this before, the 11th or...
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Like September 11th through the 12th, we're going to be at, Chris and I are going to be at Scaricon.
Yeah.
Horror convention, so definitely we'll have some buys and like Twitter pics and stuff going up for that. And yeah, so I think that's going to be it for this week. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, visit everythingaction.com. Email us at contact@everythingaction.com. Facebook.com/everything.action, Twitter.com/EVAction, everythingaction.tumblr.com, and search for us on the iTunes Music Store and Stitcher.com.